Hi, I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we are talking with Matthew Heise from the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. As we begin, thanks for joining us, first of all. So many in our district know about the awesome work that you do there, but for anyone who doesn't, what is the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and who do you serve?
Very good question. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates, publishes, distributes, and introduces books that are Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Generally, it's for Lutheran churches, but we don't restrict it to that. We make our books available to the church worldwide. And of course, that gives most people the impression that our work will be overseas. And of course, there is that. We do work in 96 countries and currently 167 languages. But we work with a lot of diaspora groups here in the United States. So we're always trying to tell people in the States that if they have an acquaintance or somebody that's interested in the church of any language group, chances are it might be one of the 167 languages that we have translated into.
So 167 languages, that just blows me away. Talk about that reach and how can you make that happen?
Well, I guess we've been in existence for 31 years since Pastor Robert Ron went over to what was the former Soviet Union and is now Russia. And he started distributing bilingual New Testaments, Russian, English, in Red Square. And I mean, the people were very hungry, and we kind of figured this was going to be most of our work. I actually had connected with him way back in those days because my grandparents were German Lutherans from Russia who left before the Communist Revolution in 1917. So I'd always had an interest in the country, and I was teaching English for LCMS World Mission at Moscow State University in 1994. So we connected there. And that work was initially just Russia, Latvia, former Soviet Union. And then it just began expanding because more people, basically what we do, we're doing children's Bible storybooks. We're doing Martin Luther's Small Catechism. And everybody wanted to have it in their own language. And so if they didn't, in Africa and Asia in particular, we began to make connections there and work with mission groups from our church and missionaries. And before you know it, it just blew up and expanded beyond even our wildest dreams.
So we are talking to the Reverend Dr. Matthew Heise, the executive director for the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Worldwide, you have so much going on, but then there's also a lot of work that's being done in the U.S. and in Michigan as well, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Michigan because, you know, we've received great support from Mary Beth Hakenen and all the ladies at LWML, Michigan CEF, Jim Salfeld, and the guys there have been just very gracious and supportive of us. So, you know, we end up providing some Arabic language resources to Pablo. We provide Spanish resources to Marty and the folks at Most Ministries as they go down to Spanish-speaking countries in our hemisphere. We have a board member who's pastor at St. Luke's in Hazlitt, Zarat Yohannes, and Pastor Yohannes is working with the Michigan District to teach in Swahili many, many people from the Congo. And so we're able to provide French resources, as that is one of the, for want of a better term, lingua franca of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And they also understand Swahili, so Pastor Zarat teaches them in that language, and we've provided them with books. So before you know it, I mean, you can actually even talk to Pastor Cronkright, Tyler Cronkright at the Family of God, and he told me once, he said, I have a Mongolian coming to our church. He says, do you have anything in Mongolian? I said, come to think of it, we do.
That's so amazing.
That's we were awesome. Able to help in that resource. So, you know, any type of people group, generally, we can assist. And there are so many different people groups living within the state of Michigan itself, not to mention the United States.
So your reach touches so many different places. And I know that some of these places might not have the healthiest countries, might be maybe a little bit unsafe, shall we say. I've got to talk to you about one of your translators, and that's Pastor Mohammed Gurhan in Somalia. Yes. Tell us about his story, because it is crazy, isn't it?
Well, Muhammad is one of those seekers. I mean, he grew up in Somalia, and all he had was a mosque, because the Christian church was severely persecuted, and it's basically an Islamic country, Islamic fundamentalist country. And so he was seeking for truth, and he would go to the Quran, and as he tells me, he says, "I found Jesus in the Quran." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Yes." He says, "You know, because the Quran says Jesus is the word of God. He's sinless." Muhammad started putting two and two together and asking some very uncomfortable questions at his mosque, enough to get him thrown out. He connected then with one of Lutheran Heritage Foundation's African employees. And before you knew it, he was translating the catechism into Somali. He has been working more recently on the border of Somalia in Ethiopia, and was literally stoned 3 years ago. It got to the point now where he has been, I mean, his life has been threatened. And so we had to find a way to get him out. And so he's safely in another country in Africa, and we're planning to get him up to Europe. There are many Somalis in the European diaspora there, so he can do great work in Europe too. And our donors have just stepped up and really been gracious, knowing that, you know, here's a guy on the front lines fighting the battle for the faith. So I always ask everyone, please keep him in prayer, and his family, because it's truly a frightening situation.
Yeah, I was reading the blog about him earlier today, and this was just from, I think, in January, correct?
Yeah.
And the latest one, and really, really a fascinating thing. We'll have a link to that in our show notes, so I encourage you to check that out.
Thank you.
It's a fascinating story, and the work that he does is truly amazing. And there's so much more you can tell about him, right?
Oh, it's just never ending, the stories. Of a person who, you know, I met one of his catechism classes of about 12 people, and I was informed by the missionary who had helped work with him many years, Dr. Anssi Sivijoki, who was from Finland. Anssi told me that he says, "You know, the last confirmation class here of 12 people, half of the class was martyred." And I share that with people as I go to congregations and I say, "How many of you were confirmed recently?" Was half of your class martyred? I can't even comprehend that. And so, you know, as I talked to this group of people, I said, "You know, I'm going to take a picture of you from the back. You know, I want to see our books here. I'm going to take a picture of you from the back." And they said, no, take it from the front. We're not ashamed." And I said, "Well, I'm still going to blot your faces out." And we do that, actually. But I'm amazed at the courage of so many of these people, because they're like Muhammad. They were seeking truth and found truth, the truth in Jesus, and are willing to put their lives on the line for that, because they said they found no peace in Islam, but they found true peace in Christ.
So tell me, what are some of the challenges that you're facing right now in the work that you do?
Well, I mean, a lot of things, we always want to make sure we get the very best translations. So, you know, it's a difficult thing, because you can't, you know, we're actually working on Greenlandic right now. If you can believe, there is a language called Greenlandic for Greenland.
I did not know that. Yeah.
I didn't know that either. And I don't know too many people who know Greenlandic. So you really have to work with people and make sure that you have some Lutheran theologian who can say, "Okay, this is pretty solid. This is good." So you're always making sure that you're getting accurate translations, and you're putting that through many pairs of eyes. And as well as you do these kinds of things, you're shipping books left and right. My wife is a native of Ukraine, and we will be in Germany in April, and we'll be meeting with a lot of Ukrainian folks. My home congregation, Guardian Lutheran, is assisting us because they're interested in that too. So, you know, we're going to be meeting with many refugees, and okay, how do we get books to them? Well, I'll be honest with you, we just sent a shipment from Thailand of all places, to Germany. And then we will store books at our partner church, the Independent Lutheran Church of Germany, up in Bleckmar in the north near Hanover. And they will then disperse those books to Wittenberg, Leipzig, and all the other areas where there are Ukrainian refugees in Germany and Europe. So there is distribution is always an issue. And then ultimately, too, just, you know, sometimes you talk to congregations again and again, and then they come back to you and say, after maybe a second, third trip, I didn't know about you. And we understand everybody's got, you know, their own church matters that they have to deal with. And sometimes you're just not listening because you have your own problems within your church. But then all of a sudden something clicks. Maybe it's somebody in your community and you find out, we have a group of people here from, who knows, India, speak Tamil language. You have something there. And we always say, just let us know, send us an email. I mean, we're not asking you for money. We want to get these resources out there. I mean, we will get the support. We get support from people in the pews, LWML, CEF, so many different organizations and ways in which we can fund this great mission. But we ask people, let us know. We are happy to provide you with resources and materials.
I know COVID affected so many different missions and ministries in numerous ways. How did it affect you guys? And what were some of those issues that you faced?
Well, one of them was, this is my first trip back over to Europe in almost 5 years. You can do a lot with Zoom, but it does help sometimes to see things on the ground. And co-workers who manage our work, Dr. Ted Notalong in Asia, in fact, he's at Metro Airport right now on his way to South Korea. And Dr. Dinku Bato in the Twin Cities, he manages our work in Africa. So they have been able to get over there more recently. So COVID slowed us down a little in that respect. And in countries like Nepal was just shut down. We've been working on a catechism for several years. And now finally, we're able to get some things going there because COVID shut that down. Ironically, people stepped up to support the mission. So a lot of people would think, gosh, you know, your mission must have taken a hit. And surprisingly, we had a lot of people who were very supportive and generous during that time.
Yeah, that's great. When you get a chance to look back and think about all the work that you do, what gives you the most pride?
I think just the simple stories. I mean, I could share with you one. We had our book distributor from St. Petersburg, Russia, in town. I don't know how he swung it. He got an invitation to the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. And I said, Yevgeny, I never get invited to these things. Here you get invited. He said, he says, I can invite you to the Moscow Prayer Breakfast. I think I'm going to hold off on that. They seem to be taking Americans lately. Interestingly enough, you know, I met him at Metro. He only had a brief day. I had to get him to Metro, back up to our office and back to the airport on the same day. And he shared with me the story of people coming into his church. He says, we have a lot of people, young people coming in Russia. They're really looking for answers, especially in the problems in their society today. And we had one woman come in and just say, I'm non-binary. And he said, okay, well, come through our Christian education class and ask any question you want. In fact, we invite atheists. We usually say, come and see what you're against. You know, come to our Bible class. And so she came. And he said in a few months, she discovered that she was a woman. And she ended up marrying a man there. And now she is studying in a deaconess program at the local seminary where, when I was a missionary, I used to teach in Russia for LCMS. And we have translated Martin Luther's works on Genesis. So she is reading and just diving deeply into that question of identity. Male and female, he created them. I mean, these are just individual people, just one person. And there's so many one persons in Burma, in Indonesia, all the way around the world, in South America. And so each individual sheep that is straying that Jesus goes out for, that's what gives me, I think, the greatest pleasure.
Ah, that's very cool. Why don't you tell us what needs you're facing right now, how we can help, and maybe what's the best way for people to reach out and help?
Okay. Well, I mean, they can come to our mission, come to our website anytime, lhfmissions.org with a plural, lhfmissions.org. And we will share with them a lot of the information here. We actually even have publications. We're really trying to get things in a digital form. Mm-hmm. And so to get copyright on that, we need to be working with the Synod and others. And we are making great progress on that. So I think that's one of the challenges because, I mean, people will always have books. People will always want books, especially overseas. But we do live in a digital world. And in countries like Turkey, where we get lots of requests, you can't exactly walk around with a Christian book. And or in Iran, for example. So, you know, we would like to get more of those books available digitally so people can have that. And then just, you know, getting them out to all the congregations and people. So like I say, I think it's always a challenge just keeping your name out in front of people. President Meyer and now President Davis have been very, very helpful and in getting our name in the forefront of people in the Michigan District and throughout Synod too. So you're always trying to get that information out there, primarily that we want to share resources with people. Because a lot of times people say, you know, I'm not a missionary. I'm 90 years old. My dad's going on 97. You know, people like that who say, I can't really travel like you guys are to Africa, to Asia. And we always say, no, but you can help support. $5 literally puts a book into the hands of one of these people in a language, their heart language around the world. And even if you have somebody in your own community that you want to reach out to. A lot of times when I'm traveling, I carry our, Pastor Ron wrote a little booklet, a four-page booklet called Jesus Never Fails. And the point is that life's going to fail you, health's going to fail you, ultimately friends fail you, everything fails you, but Jesus never fails you. And it's a book of great comfort. And I always have a Spanish language copy because there are a lot of people working in the hotels that are Spanish. And I make sure I leave one or try to put that into somebody's hands.
Such a cool ministry and in just an awesome way, if you can reach just that one, right? Yep. And just continue to keep that going and continue to
one by one. Yes. Yeah.
Well, don't forget to check out our show notes. We'll have information on the Lutheran Heritage Foundation and also how you can get involved as well. Matthew, we want to thank you so much for your time today and the amazing work you're doing and all the great stories as well.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and thank you to all the good folks at the Michigan District.
Yeah, and God's blessings to you, and also thank you to the listener for making this podcast part of your day.